Welcome to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Come on to the theatre.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 76 of the Manx Theatre Podcast with me, Neil Callan. Thank you to everyone who's listened to our previous episodes. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome along and thanks for joining us. In this podcast, we like to try and keep you up to date with what's going on in theatre on the Isle of Man, chatting to the cast and creatives of upcoming shows to find out a little more about the shows and the people behind them, and also what our Manx born and bred performers are doing further afield.
Coming up on this week's podcast.
In a double header episode, I chat with Leandra Lawler, Lisa Smith and Anthony Lawler from MADFA, the Manx Amateur Drama Federation, ahead of March is MADFA Month, and Chris and Susanna Mabry from the Manx National Theatre ahead of their production of Fan's Story at the Gaiety Theatre next week. You can still listen to all of our previous episodes through all the usual podcast outlets and at manxradio.com/podcasts. If you're enjoying the podcasts, whilst you're there, make sure to give us a like, a five-star review, and click subscribe or follow or whatever it is you need to do to make sure that you never miss an episode. Giving the podcast a review also helps make it more available for other listeners to find. Now, we start today on a very sad note as we mourn the loss of Trish Varga, a well-known and loved member of the Manx theatre community. Trish was a member of both the Manx Operatic Society and the Douglas Choral Union, appearing in many roles both on stage and off over many, many years. At her funeral on Wednesday 25th of February, her brother-in-law Gary Corkle gave a wonderful eulogy, charting Trish's performing life from childhood through lead roles in Manx Ops and DCU, her time in a cabaret singing duo called Illusion with Lorna Pearson Brown, who she also operated the spots with on many shows, amusing the backstage crew with a running commentary over the cans of the performances on stage, to her own writings and productions of two Nun Factor musical plays, one of which I was fortunate enough to perform in. Fantine in the DCU's production of Les Mis, where she almost forgot to take her fluffy cow socks off before going on stage for Fantine's death, Mother Superior in DCU's Sister Act, and her final performance as Grisabella in Taylorian's 2013 production of Cats. I was fortunate enough to perform in three shows with Trish, and her energy and passion for performing and mischief was infectious. Trish leaves behind a legacy of brilliant performances and a big hole in the hearts of the Manx theatre community. On a happier note, congratulations go to Liam Bean, who's booked his first job since leaving LSMT in the summer, and will be setting sail with Princess Cruise Entertainment as a principal vocalist on the Island Princess. From March, he'll be on board for 6 months, starting in Hawaii, then sailing to California, Alaska and Vancouver and back. Well done, Liam. Dishing up a slice of pure nostalgia, the Service Players have announced that their June production at the Gaiety will be The Good Life by John Esmond and Bob Larby, and adapted for the stage by Jeremy Sands. The cast includes Alexander Kane Duncan, Beth Espy, John Walker, Lisa Smith, and Rachel Jochen. This witty, funny, heartwarming comedy will be directed by Toby Smith and assisted by Kim Childs. This episode has been made possible by funding from the Isle of Man Arts Council. For full details of the funding available and the application deadlines, check out their website at iomarts.com. That's all the news for now, but make sure you keep up to date with what's going on between episodes by following Manx Theatre Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
I'm joined on the podcast now by Leandra Lawler, Lisa Smith and Anthony Lawler from MADFA, the Manx Amateur Drama Federation. Ladies and gents, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Lisa, welcome back.
Hello.
You've been on before a couple
have.
Of times, I think, two or three times maybe. I don't know. We're losing track now.
I don't know. But I don't know. It's ages ago anyway, so
yes.
I'm due another appearance.
Yes, definitely, yes. And Leandra and Anthony, first timers?
Yep, certainly.
Welcome
absolutely.
On. So we're here today because MADFA have got lots of exciting new things that are happening this year. And also, March is the month of MADFA.
It is. March is MADFA month.
MADFA month, there we go. For those who don't know what MADFA is, tell us a little bit about what they do. I mean, they've been around for, what, 75 years now?
Yeah, so basically we bring people together through theatre, we nurture talent, we celebrate the joy of live performance, and we also do this through festivals, for example, the Easter Festival of Plays, which some of the listeners may have heard of, which happens obviously at Easter, mm-hmm. At the Gaiety. The one-act plays, which historically were at Erin Arts Centre, And then moved to the Gaiety, I think a few years ago. And then we also have the Young Actor of Man competition. But most recently, we did the full, the All Ireland play.
Yes.
With Lisa was an amazing, beautiful gold goddess.
Oh, yes. The All Ireland play, Midsummer Night's Dream at Government House Gardens. It was wonderful.
It was amazing.
And Anthony played.
I was Thisbe and I was flute. So a dual role.
You're right.
One male, one female.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beautiful.
It had been a long time since the previous one, because the previous one was A Winter's Tale, and that was about 2001, two, something like
2002.
That.
2002.
Yeah, it was a long time, so it was great to see that All Ireland play back again.
Yeah, it really was. Yes. It was such a wonderful, special project.
It was amazing.
It felt so lovely to be part of.
Led by Sharon Walker. It's her dream. That was Midsummer Night's Dream was Sharon's dream.
Yes.
So, and she did an amazing job with that.
And it was up in the gardens at Government House. And
it was. It was just an amazing place to have her, to put on that performance. It was just, and we were so lucky with the weather.
Yes.
And the governor had a role himself.
I was going to say, didn't the governor make an appearance?
Yes. Absolutely, which was really nice. It was lovely to see him come out and just be a normal actor like everybody else. And
yeah.
And he had nerves. I think backstage he was a bit nervous.
He was very nervous backstage.
I say behind the hedge. Behind the hedge. Didn't he look on Thisbe's bosom at one point?
Well, yes. I was getting into my costume with Thisbe, which included some really silicon falseness going on. And he was watching me tuck myself in and get myself sorted. And my words to the governor, which this will go down in for my one of my things, is one of my most best memories of that show was... So, eyes up here, please. He just took it in his stride. It was just amazing.
I remember that being sat with the governor one evening. He was telling us about how he used to do stuff when he was a young man at school, and he'd played Oliver, possibly the best fed orphan you'd seen.
Oh, bless. Yeah,
I was going to say, anyway, so tell us about everything that's coming up in March.
Yeah, so this March coming up. So what we are doing is we are not doing the Easter Festival this year. We're having what we call a fallow year.
Yeah.
So that we can just do one thing, concentrate on that, get moving with other things after the one act play, which has moved back to the Erin Arts Centre. So we've got that this year.
Mm-hmm.
Then on that same week, we have a workshop with Edward Bennett, who is a Shakespearean actor, who's also been in Bridgerton, many other different plays, which I could speak about in great depth in a little bit, and our Young Actor of Man, or maybe not in depth.
You can talk in depth, I might just edit it down.
Yeah, probably. And the Young Actor of Man competition, which this year we have 29 candidates, which I think is really
amazing.
Oh. I don't think we've had that many for quite a while, so with COVID years and things, so it's lovely to have that. So yeah, so three amazing things happening with the one act play, the workshop and Young Actor of Man. So yes, March is definitely mad for month.
No, I took part in the very first Young Actor of Man, although back in those days it was called the Isle of Man Bank Drama Scholarship.
Was it?
Yeah. 1993 and 94 were the first 2 years. And I was made it through to the final. So as it was in those days, you were on stage on the last night of the Easter Festival. They brought up all the sort of the finalists up onto the stage. You stood there in a nice long line and the adjudicator came out and said some lovely things. And I'd been told beforehand that the judge was very impressed with all the work that I'd done and the things that I'd presented. And I'm stood on stage and they said, right, it's been a wonderful year. And the winner is Neil Owen. I'm like, little 12-year-old me had a heart attack. So he's like, I've won. Oh, no, I haven't. But it was a fantastic experience.
Can you remember your monologue?
I did. I Wish I Was Our Sammy from Blood Brothers.
Wow.
That was one of the pieces that I did. I remember sitting there and roll me trousered leg up and having a dirty knee underneath it. And
This year, I don't know if in the first year you did it, if they did a sort of a round one and then the main competition, which has been the format quite a lot. And I think there has been a workshop part in the past, but this year we're starting off with a workshop.
Right.
So all 29 candidates get to go with Edward Bennett, who's putting the workshop on the day before, but he was also going to be the adjudicator.
Right,
so
okay.
So one of his criteria, so in the past you've been able to do musical theatre mm-hmm. or and an acting piece, but his criteria was he just wanted a monologue from a published play.
Right, okay.
So it's a little bit different this year in that respect. So we've got the workshop, the published play. So it's going to be a great afternoon starting about 3:30 on the 15th of March for any listeners who want to pop along. So that's going to be a good time.
And where's that? Is that the Erin Arts Centre?
That's at Balcomine. So it's a studio theatre
at Balcomine. Yeah.
So we're moving up into Douglas for the actual Young Actor of Man.
And how do people get tickets for that? Do they just come along or?
So actually we've created on the website, Anthony could tell you that as our PR officer, a Manx on stage for everything Manx theatre.
Basically it's about bringing Manx drama together and one place where people can go to find out what's on. So we've created this Manx What's On page basically.
Yeah.
And we do it in a 2-monthly block. So obviously this at the minute we're on February and March.
Yeah.
People put in give me some ideas of what's going on across the island. We'll advertise it for them free of charge.
Yep.
And it just brings it together. So there's a one place where people can go to see what's on. And of course, we're advertising our Mad for Month on that as well through the page.
So the links will be next to, so there's artwork in each month.
Yeah.
And the links, you can click on the link and that will take you to the landing page for to buy tickets. At the moment, we're just waiting, because normally with Young Actor of Man, it's just people just turn up.
Yeah.
So it's not actually, you don't actually buy tickets beforehand. So at the moment, it's just like, watch this space to decide exactly how we're going to ask people if they want to pay and things. So that'll be decided at our next meeting.
All right.
And but you can go there and find out about the one acts as well.
Great. That hands us nicely over to Lisa then. You're the one act coordinator, is that right? Or one of the one act coordinators?
Yeah, one of. And we've got 4 nights of entertainment. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So from the 11th to the 14th of March at the Erin Arts Centre, on the Wednesday night, we've got 3 short plays, one of which is an original piece from some local writers. And the next night, also, we've got an original piece. And then on the Friday night, we've got 3 youth entries. And on the Saturday night, 2 more to finish it off. And then, of course, you know, the final adjudication and the awards.
Yes. Yeah. So looking at the list, which I have here in front of me. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday 11th, we have The Service Players with Janet and John by Michael Piercy. Russian Players, Parallels by Wood and Kinley.
That's the original piece of writing.
And then Starling Crew.
Oh, of course. Yes, Starling. So there's 2 pieces of original writing on that first night, because Gemma Varnum's written a piece. And do you know what? I've read it and it's just lovely.
Yeah.
I love it. She's so witty.
Yes.
You know, quirky, witty, original. But, you know, I think it's going to be really great. I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
It's a two-hander, I think, isn't it? Her and Ian Dixon as well. That's going to be fantastic.
Macbeth and Lady Macbeth.
Indeed, yes. Yes, I think
it's going to be brilliant.
I think they'd hoped to put that in last year, but it didn't work out for them. Yes.
Yeah. And then on the Thursday night, go on.
We have High Horse Productions, which is, it's a new company, I think, isn't it?
Neil
King, I thought it was. Former presenter of the podcast, Neil King, stretching his legs that way.
He has Megan Hills performing alongside him.
Right.
Yeah. She's a lovely young actor. She co-directed In Your Blood.
In Their Blood, yeah.
In Their Blood, yes. Blood,
yeah, so she's one to watch.
Mm. And Doll's House, that we did at the Balacomine as well.
Did she push you in that as
She assistant directed that with Fabulous. Dan Gray. So that's going to be really good. I'm looking forward to that. And also, Toby Smith is directing that one.
Is he now?
Yes.
Is this his directorial debut?
It is.
Well, it is.
Very exciting.
Looking forward to that. That one's called Little Dolls by Nancy Harris.
Yeah.
Underwood Productions are doing Bus 404 by Alessandro Mazzotta. That's an original piece as well, is it?
That is an original piece, yes.
Yes. And Service Players Roast Dinner by Lisa Smith?
Someone, yeah. Yeah, someone. Some hoe.
Another... there's another one that you've knocked up whilst eating pastries on a Saturday afternoon.
Don't talk to me about knocking up. yes, Yes, I yes, I wrote this one. Didn't write this one for you, Neil. Mm. Although, you know, you weren't available because you're doing Come From Away.
I am, yes. Yeah, and I, looking at my rehearsal schedule for the next few months, I've got about 16 days over 3 months when I don't have a rehearsal.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
It's pretty full on.
Oh,
otherwise, I would, of course, I would have loved to have been there.
Well, we're very excited to come and watch it anyway.
Yes.
And may I add, I've read that script and it's really funny, really... Yeah, surprising as well. It's not
extremely
surprisingly
silly.
Not surprisingly funny.
No.
I really enjoyed. I'm really looking forward to seeing it come from the words on the page onto the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very silly. You know that my writing is extremely silly. And oh, this is...
And it's such fun to perform as well. It's brilliant. Okay, Friday the 13th of March, we have Stage Door Academy with Me, My Monsters and I by Grey Pratt. Elite Theatre Arts are doing Lockdown by Douglas Craven. And Stage One Drama are doing In Juliet's Garden by Judy Elliott MacDonald.
Yeah, some really good... I'm really looking forward to that evening, actually. Some really great plays there.
Mm, yes. Yeah.
And it's youth.
Yes.
All youth plays that
youth
night
plays
as well, which
Friday
is really
night.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Elite is Tony Eccles and Leah Carter.
Leah Carter, yeah.
Yes, and Stage One, well, Stage One have been around for
Jackie.
For quite some time. Yeah, Jackie Hooks, yeah.
Who's 20... often had, you know, many successes, many
yeah.
awards at the One Acts,
yes.
Hasn't she? So
And many young people who've gone on to bigger things, such as Joe Locke and Samantha Box. They're
Absolutely.
Both former students of Stage One.
Absolutely,
so
that's right.
So you never know who's going to be on that stage, who could be heading off for bigger and greater things in the
yeah.
future.
And then you have Lisa Kreisky and Christine Wilson.
Yes.
For, Stage Door.
Yes. And that's and they're new as well this year, aren't they? Stage
I
Door
think
Academy.
Elite
they've only
and
set
Stage
up in the
Door,
last...
this is the first time that they've entered.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's their new entrance, which is great because
yeah.
that leads on to our new award that we're bringing in.
Ooh.
Sharon Walker has gifted an award called the Walker Family
right.
Award, and it's basically to be presented. The adjudicator chooses.
Yeah.
So somebody who's new, whether it be front of house
yeah.
or the dark side, as we call it, or the writer or whatever. So it's for any
best newcomer.
Area. Yeah.
yeah,
best newcomer.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And that's available across the whole range of adult and
yes.
Junior plays.
Yes. And it's the adjudicator will be given a criteria of this is what that award is what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will decide, he will, or she, sorry, Sue Doherty, she will decide exactly who she thinks deserves to win it.
Wonderful. And then the Saturday night, you have Cobbled Heights doing A Matter of Husbands by Ferenc Molnar. Apologies if that's pronounced horrendously
no, yeah,
wrong.
I have no idea.
And Russian Players are doing The Blood of the Lamb by Arlene Hutton.
Yeah. So Cobbled Heights, that's Catherine Court and Laura Jones.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Lots of new groups this year. That's
yeah,
quite exciting.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really good.
So coming off the back of that, we've got the playwriting competition, which is the Derek Jacobi playwriting competition?
Yeah, we do. That's launched by the National Drama Festivals Association. I'm not quite sure how long it's actually been going on for. However, last year, the lovely Jenny Derbyshire, she won with her writing of Shelter.
Yes.
And they win a publishing deal with
yes.
Stage Scripts. They get a trophy, they get £250.
That's very nice.
So anybody, Lisa, you could enter. You're
Well, the adjudicator has to nominate your play.
Yes.
Oh. Yes, which it has. The Photograph was nominated.
Yes.
Didn't win, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's a wonderful play.
So the characters weren't well-rounded enough. That's the acting, darling.
Yeah.
Just rubbish acting.
Yeah. We won the festival. Just
That's right. We won
the
best play. Yeah. I'm just happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that is what happened.
Although the photo of the play that's on the Madford website doesn't have me because I'm across the side taking the photo. I've been cut off.
Right. We'll draw you in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do a bit of AI. Put me in. It'll
be fine.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
That's my task for tonight. Draw Neil in, make the website.
So actually, as we were just saying, we had a little bit of a chat before we started recording, and so you are the new chair of MADFA this year, Leandra.
Yes, I took over from Sharon Walker in November time, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I've decided that I would like a new role, and that was the role that I was opted into.
Because you didn't have enough to do, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's lovely. It's a lovely role. I'm really enjoying it. It's very varied. I get to meet lovely people that I don't normally get to meet. I obviously meet Lisa all the time, so it's fine. And work with people whom I've never met before.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. It's really, really nice. I'm really enjoying it. And we've got a challenge in the fact that this year we're not putting on the Easter Festival. Mm-hmm. It's just the one act that we are doing. And Lisa kindly came forward with Ron and Sarah to do that.
Ron Bezic.
Ron Bezic. Oh.
Yeah. And Sarah Lockyer. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So Ron is... That's Susie's husband.
That's right.
And we sadly lost Susie last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Susie was a well-known face of Madfa for many, many, many years.
That's right.
And the Russian players as well. So it was sad that we lost her last year.
Yeah, much missed.
Much missed.
Yeah. But yeah, Ron is still very much part of Russian players and the One Act Festival. So it's really lovely. And he is brilliant as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What else have we got to talk about?
Do you need to? Are you going to ask the usual questions of Anthony and Leander?
I could do. Yes.
Oh,
although I haven't even prepped you. And I also, do you know what? I've got a new question.
Have you?
I saw this the other day. I was online looking through Facebook, and there's one question came up. I thought, oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
But I might save that for another one because it probably takes a bit of thought. So I'll mention it now so that people listening to this episode can think about it for the next episode whenever they're on.
All right.
So the new question is, unless you've got an answer that you can go, yes, definitely that right now.
Okay.
What is the best Act One finale that you've seen?
But I know mine straight away. But it would be a musical.
Mm, yes.
Probably recently when we went to see Hadestown.
I have to agree. 100% with that. Yeah.
And The Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's amazing. It's just...
Visually just absolutely stands out.
Definitely The Wall from Hadestown to you.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You had an answer. Well done.
Okay. Well, there we go. Well, that's in from now on then, okay? So if we're looking back at your performing. As a performer, how did you get started initially?
Myself personally, the very first time I performed in public was on a bus going from a hamlet town in Gorebridge in Scotland. Sat at the front of the bus singing a Bay City Rollers song because my mum used to like to hear me sing, and it was 7 o'clock in the morning, and that was my first public performance.
Right.
And in Scotland, very much like the Manx scene here, there's a lot of singing, a lot of music, and so I grew up singing and performing, really. So there's no actual pivotal point apart from the fact I remember singing on the bus, a Bay City Roller number.
But you get involved in like local amateur theatre?
So I personally went through the whole of school being part of the choir, being in, I think I was in The Wizard of Oz, you know, all those sort of things. I was in a song, and the song, I don't know if you remember this, you might not be, I'm a little bit older than you guys. There was a British Airways advert, and it was fly the flag, right? And there was a musical, and I can't remember the name of it, but basically it was about this, and it wasn't Ugly, and it wasn't the one that Robin did, but I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. And it was about this chicken or something.
Honk?
No, it wasn't Honk. That's what Robin was in. It was another similar to that.
Right, okay.
Some Rooster Rag or something it was called.
Right.
And I had to sing this really long phrase. So I always remember that. But yeah, I performed pretty much from I was primary school, secondary school. Did Annie was Miss Hannigan.
Right.
And no, I was not Miss Hannigan. I was the lady of Who Walks Round, who comes and adopts Annie. Miss Farrell.
Yes.
So yeah.
Daddy Warbucks' secretary.
But my first treading the boards in the Isle of Man was at the Beauty and the Beast with Manx Operatics when Anthony Williams first became the director.
Back in 1998.
It was.
And I was invited down because I was doing Peel Pantaloons at the time. Yeah. I was invited down to come and watch myself and a couple of others, Grania Jockin, Ben Hartley and Jonathan Io. Yeah. We were invited down to come and watch the rehearsal with a view of maybe us joining for the next show. And we watched, I think it was Come Follow the Band or something like that was being set. And I would have joined in right there and then. Mm. I'd have been part of that. But then 5 weeks later, after Christmas, when they started rehearsals for Hot Mikado, that was it. I was in, and that was me. Done.
That was a really quick turnaround, that one. So from doing the panto straight into the February rehearsal.
Literally, like, 2 weeks from closing night, they started rehearsals and then did Hot Mikado in May.
It was crazy. You had Danielle Duncan, she was called at the time as well, but I can't remember.
Daniel Brideson.
That's it, Daniel Brideson. Yeah, as well. So that was fun.
Yeah. Just you mentioning Annie there.
Yeah.
I know it's one of Lisa's likes of Advani. But just when I was sort of looking around at Facebook, looking at all the various things, different people that I know from the island have gone away working professionally, former young actor of Man, Christian Cooper, yes, has just been cast as Rooster in the UK tour of Annie alongside Lavoie and Claire Sweeney as Miss Hannigan.
Yeah, oh, really? He has, yes. So I'm in regular contact with Christian.
Yeah.
And he has actually just stopped being in Sound of Music.
Yes.
Where he was Rolf. And he was like, watch this space, Leandro, watch this space. And then obviously it went out and we shared it on Madfa, and really proud of Christian. He has done so well.
Yes.
And really excited. I'm definitely going to be getting tickets to go and support him somewhere. And his tour I've already sort of planned. So yeah, really, yeah, so excited for him.
Brilliant. Now, Anthony, I know that you kind of started Dark Side.
Oh, very much so, yes.
But you have tripped into the light in recent years.
So my first show was I played Little John in Robin Hood Babes in the Wood by Manx Ops.
Right.
Now it was done on a bit of a go on audition, you'll be fine. We need men. We need male characters in the show. We're really struggling.
That never happens.
No. So I went down to the audition. I stood in the room. They said, "What's your name?" I said my name, and they went, "You got the part." They said, "Don't worry. It'll just be walking on, walking off again. You may have to say a couple of lines. That's going to be it." Well, no, it just turned into the complete full pantomime, singing, dancing, ghost show thing. And it
Brilliant.
Was just an absolute mind-blowing experience. And then yeah. I'd done nothing apart from Dark Side. When was that, 2000? And
Kennedy was 18 because she was the favourite.
She was. And the best thing about it, all the family were involved. So
yeah.
Both my daughters. Leandro was backstage, I was on stage, so it was just a great family event.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Christmas, isn't it? It's just, it takes over.
2013, I
2013,
think.
Yeah, it sounds about right. And so I've done nothing but backstage since then.
Yeah.
And then, it was this time last year, wasn't it? It was Burns Night, and you got me to do an address to the Haggis.
Yeah.
Well, we all had to do something at the table. We were having a Burns Night with the family, and it was so we had to do something. So I'd done the address to the Haggis, and Leandro goes, "Oh, you look really good at that." And then the All-Ireland play came along, and why didn't you go to the workshop? So I went to the workshop, done the Shakespeare workshop, and I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Auditioned and ended up, my proper serious role is Shakespeare, dual part, male and a female, in the open air with the governor. And it was just mind-blowing. It was just an amazing, amazing experience, which I'm hoping somewhere down the line to do again.
Lovely. Nothing like jumping in with both feet then, really, is there?
No, not really.
So over the years, Leandro, you've probably done quite a few shows, and Lisa, you as well. Is there a favourite of yours that you've done?
That I've personally been that performed in. So I've not performed actually in that many on the island. I think I really enjoyed Hot Mikado was the show that I probably musically, but I like Chess as well.
Yeah. Oh. Two very different styles as well though.
It's really difficult, isn't it?
Because Hot Mikado was really kind of jazzy and really kind of sort of, and then Chess is just
so serious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember one of the quotes. I mean, I really did enjoy that, but I didn't have a huge amount of physical movement because I was part of the pop choir.
Yes.
And but I always remember we were doing the pop choir one night, and we went backstage, and I think it may have been Simone's relatives had been in the audience, and they'd heard somebody go, "Oh my gosh, have they brought that pop choir from across? Is that a professional choir?" And we were like,
Yeah.
So, but no, I mean, I honestly and truly, I don't think I have. I have moments that I really do enjoy. I think about all of them, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. A nice eclectic mix of everything. What about you?
Heaven knows what I said last time, but
but things can change, so
yeah, things do change. I will always love Clue that we did November a year and a half ago. That was such fun.
Incredibly
frantic.
Silly.
Pardon?
Incredibly silly.
Yes, very very silly, hugely just frantic. That was a really good comedy. I mean, I'll always love Blood Brothers that David Dawson directed and. In that with Lorcan and Jack and
brilliant.
Oh gosh, wasn't that a great play?
It was wonderful. Brilliant.
I remember that, it was so good.
Yeah, and then my bucket list was to play Beatrice, and I got to play Beatrice in Much Ado About Nothing.
Tick.
I know. Big tick. Yeah, so that was wonderful a few years ago for
Paradise.
Yeah, for Parados. Parados is first. Was that their first production?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It was. Yeah. So, and that was down at King Bill's. That was wonderful. Really wonderful. What a great play. What a great cast. What a great character to play. That really was, you know, that was the one I wanted to do. And I got to do it.
Brilliant.
I just remembered something, actually.
Oh, go on.
I've completely forgotten as you were talking there. So I was lucky enough to take part in For the Fallen.
Right, oh yes.
That was written by John Young.
Mm.
And then we got to come up to Manx Radio and record, and we did the recorded version for radio.
Yeah.
I say probably that may have actually been the pinnacle, mm-hmm. because to work with John, who's such a talent, and the actual set was in the round, and they made the, I don't know if you had, did you come and see
it? Oh yeah, I was there.
It was just... Did you get the opportunity to see it?
No, I didn't.
It was just amazing.
It was absolutely
and,
amazing.
It was so moving because it was based around the First World War, and it was specifically written by John, and he had the letters from the people from World War One on the ceiling and in wire, and then we placed poppies, and it was just amazing.
Oh, I seem to think so there was good. Like a trapdoor in the stage that became the trenches. Yeah.
It was really good. And I played a mother whose son had gone off to war, and we had Stephanie Gray was in it.
Mm.
There's lots, and Bob from here.
Yeah, Bob Harrison. Yeah.
Yeah. So and Christian Cooper.
Yes.
He was the soldier that went off to war. So yeah, it was lovely. It was that. So yeah, probably that.
Right. Marvellous.
So you can cut everything else out.
Okay. Is there a new show that you would love to be a part of, or rather a part in a new show? It could be a show that's new to you, that you'd love to play, but you're now too old.
Oh.
Wow.
See, I'm never too old.
See, for me, Back to the Future, love Back to the Future, but I'm too old to play Marty. And realistically, I'm going to be Doc Brown.
Yeah, still a pretty good role.
I was watching The Waitress the other night, and, you know, I'd like to be the handsome doctor, but I'm not the handsome doctor. Realistically, I'm probably more like Oki, the funny little one that woos the other girl. But realistically, I'm going to be Cal, who's the old guy who runs the pie shop.
Aww. Aging's so cruel, isn't it?
It is.
You know, age-wise, I've never really bothered with things like that. But for me, it was always, even for me, historically, it was always my height, because I'm only 4'11".
Yes.
So if I went for a role, it was like, realistically, there was no chance. I'd be easier going for the Munchkins and Wizard of Oz. Do you know what I mean? I'd probably have got that. But I've never really thought about it. I think for me now, because I'm firmly the other side and not thinking about performing as much as I did, I like to be a facilitator.
Yes.
Rather
the
than...
The creative.
Yeah, I'm really... I like... creating, I like writing, I like creating my own things as well. So watch the space for next year for youth plays, hopefully. Maybe Manx themed. So no, I don't really think about being... I don't think about being old. I'm not old.
Well done. Good.
Don't ask me. I have no idea what I'd want to play.
Oliver.
Oliver. Yes.
The Artful Dodger.
The Artful Dodger, yeah. I'd probably play the dog.
A nanny.
What you're saying.
It'd be Bullseye.
Yeah, Bullseye. That's it.
Okay, right. So you're allowed to keep one costume and or prop from any of the shows that you've been in. What is it and why?
Can I go first?
Yeah,
that
go
one?
For it.
Has to be my silicone boobs from playing from Midsummer's. I really wanted to keep them. They fell out a couple of times during the show as well.
That's funny.
Which we just laughed it off and just got on with it.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Me alongside Lorcan, which was just phenomenal. So that would be mine. I would have them in a cupboard somewhere out of the way, because I wouldn't be allowed to have them out.
Not mounted on the wall.
No, definitely.
Lisa?
Gosh, so many brilliant costumes. I mean, Jude Fullerton just does such a wonderful job. I do remember in a play called The London Cuckolds in 2002 wearing a wafty nightdress and some plate armour over it, because my husband didn't want to leave me alone. I don't know. I suppose it was his version of a chastity belt. So I had these big clunky...
Oh, in the play. Right, sorry.
Yeah. In the play. And Chris Kane sort of snuck in and tried to take it off. I do remember that bit. But yes, that was a very funny piece of costume, that sort of armor breastplate and yeah. And I'm sort of, yes, I've been left alone in my bed chamber so that no one could come and take advantage of me. That was very funny. Other than that, I'd love to have, I don't know where she got them from. She must have hired them from across, but they were spectacular Tudor style, I suppose, dresses for Much Ado About Nothing.
Mm.
Beatrice's dress, big thing with a lovely bodice, you yes. know, waft around in that. I don't know why we don't wear those these days. They're so flattering. Yeah. Bodice, a great big skirt, cover your bum.
Oh, that'd be great for me. I'd be well happy.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Leandra, how about you?
I don't really have any flattering type costumes that I would think about. Can't really think of anything, to be honest, that I would have wanted to keep. Maybe the poppy that mm-hmm. I put in and for the Fallen.
Yeah.
Purely for the memory of it, mm. because it was so significant and because it was such an emotional play.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be the thing. But I'm sure I've probably stolen a few things anyway at some point.
Haven't we all?
The odd prop that may have just fallen into the bag on the way out.
I just can't remember because I'm getting that old.
I mean, I long-term borrowed the truncheon that I had for Sweeney Todd as the Beadle. So that's in the corner of my bedroom. I keep moving it around every now and again. So. It was only an old broomstick painted brown with a bit of tape at the top. It's fine. It wasn't hired. It was just made. It's fine.
I did actually make a prop for Panto for Parker and Snell, actually. And it was the one that Lisa Kreisky was the witch. And I can't remember which one it was. And I made this. I just gave it a name and I forgot it, and she's going to kill me. And I made this amazing sort of like head for the staff that she had, because she was the what was she in that? Can anybody
she
remember?
Was, it was the Wicked Witch, wasn't it? Yeah. But it was almost, oh, I can't think of the name. No, it's gone from what?
It was Snow White.
It was Snow White.
White, so she was, oh, right. There, yes, there you go, thank you. Lift,
yeah, that one.
And, yeah. So, but Lisa got it before me.
Right.
So that probably would have been, because I made this staff,
yeah,
and yeah, but she,
well, she still took it home.
She, yeah, still, has she it. Still has it.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, all right. She still has it.
Lovely.
Do you remember making all those flowers for that tree we made? What was that for?
That was from Milan. I made a blossom tree, a full blossom tree.
Pink,
made,
pink and white crepe paper, just
500 blossoms.
Yes,
wow. Just making these tiny little petals and just sticking them on this branch. Oh,
hundreds and hundreds of little flowers. Yeah,
500.
Wowzers. It kept you busy for a while.
You did.
Okay, so way, way back in 2020, just after the first lockdown, we created the Manx Theatre Podcast Musical Theatre Playlist. Now, this is our ultimate musical theatre playlist, and it's a list of songs that we've sung, they're from shows that we've been in, or a song that means something special to us. Now, for instance, for myself, when we first set up, Neil and I each put 10 songs in each just to get it going, because a playlist with two songs is very short and boring. So we put 10 songs in just to get it going, and one of the songs that I put in was Seasons of Love from Rent, because a group of my friends sang it at mine and Emma's wedding.
That's nice.
Lovely. So let's have a little bit of a look through the list and just see if things that we can find. So Lisa, we know that you chose Little Girls from Annie.
Little Girls.
Little Girls.
Little Girls.
Ian Dixon chose Who I'd Be from Shrek the Musical.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Jeff Pugh chose You'll Be Back from Hamilton. Jordan McCormick chose Wouldn't It Be Lovely from My Fair Lady. And Claire Temple chose For Now from Avenue Q. Mm. So, Leandra, what is your song and why would you like it to be added to the playlist?
I would like to choose a song from Chess, the musical, uh-huh, which I performed, was part of in 2000, I
yes,
think.
Yes, 2000.
Was. So 20 years before the playlist.
Yes.
And called Heaven Help My Heart.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so the reason it means something to me is I can actually remember practicing it over and over and over again, because I really wanted that part.
Yeah.
4'11", Leandra wanted this part. And yeah, but the amazing Sarah Holland got the part. And the reason it means so much to me is I just remember I can actually remember the emotion,
yeah,
that I felt when I was singing the song.
It's a fantastic song. And I was there. I was in that show with you. So that was,
you were,
that was our second show together. Gosh. Many years ago. I was just a boy. There's been some photos, or at least an album of Mike Bonner's that's resurfaced in the last couple of weeks, and seeing all those pictures from 25, 26 years ago, like, just a boy.
Yeah. I'm standing in one of them with my hands above my head like this, as if I'm going to do some sort of Spanish dance.
Yeah.
And my daughter sent me a message saying, "Mum, is that you? Is that you?" And I'm, "Yep, I recognise those ankles anywhere."
Emma said to me, she went, "Gosh, you're skinny." And I went, "Well, I've just been dancing 3 nights a week for 6 months, so no wonder." And also, I was 23. So, not 47. Anyway, Ant, what choice?
So, the song I want to choose is Master of the House from Les Mis.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, one of my favourite shows to go and watch, but the fact I really like it, it's that comedy break within such a serious show.
Yes. The Thénardiers are two wonderful characters.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that's my favourite. And I've worked backstage on both performances, local productions of Les Mis. I work backstage on it, so it's always the one that sticks in my mind. It's the one that I'd always like remembering. It's my favourite from Les Mis.
Fantastic. Right, well, thank you for joining me on the podcast this evening. We wish you and everyone at MAD for all the very best for March, being MAD for Month, Young Actor of Man, and the One Act Festival.
Thank you so much,
Neil. Yeah, thank
you very much. Can we also add a thank you to our sponsor for the One Act Festival, who is Blackford & Co Insurance Brokers Limited.
Of course you can.
Thank you.
No problem. So we'll be sharing details of how you can get tickets for all the different things through our Facebook pages, and there'll be links through to Madford's pages as well.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. Have a great time.
Thank you. See you again soon.
Bye.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
Well, thanks to Leandra, Lisa and Anthony for chatting to me about March's Mad for Month. And as mentioned earlier, this is a double-header episode. So here's my chat with Chris and Susanna Mabry from Manx National Theatre about Fan Story, which runs at the Gaiety Theatre next week. Okay, joining me now on the podcast are Chris and Susanna Mabry of the Manx National Theatre, ahead of Fan's Story, which runs at the Gaiety from the 5th to the 6th of March. Susanna, Chris, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
This is your second or third trip on a visit onto the podcast now, I think, isn't it?
I think it's the third.
Yeah, third. Gosh. We're actually getting quite good at it now.
Yeah. And of course, since you were last on, you've now rebranded as the Manx National Theatre.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the Manx National Theatre and what it does and what it's there to do.
Right. Well, we had a long, hard look at theatre on the island, which is amazing and actually renowned across. We've spoken to quite a lot of directors across who know about the Isle of Man, mm-hmm. Because the quality of amateur theatre here is so good. But because we've had so many people that have gone away and had a proper training and come back, they are the natural candidates for what's going on in theatre.
Yeah.
Of course they are, mm-hmm. because everyone wants a really, really good production. But it left an awful lot of people who couldn't afford any training, had not been away and done anything substantial, but really had a passion about theatre and are our audiences when all said and done. And so sitting over a mad cup of tea one day, chucking ideas around, I said, "Wouldn't it be a lovely idea if..." And some fool said, "Yeah, let's do that then." And I thought, just out of curiosity, we'll try it and see if this takes. And yes, it really did. The idea about Manx National Theatre and rebranding was because we were in drama before.
Yes.
Spelt YNDRAAMEY. No one could spell it.
Yeah.
No one could pronounce it.
Pronounce it, yes.
And we knew that at some point we'd be taking our productions across, mm-hmm. and it wasn't going to work.
No.
So, as a joke, my friend said, "Why don't you call yourself Manx National Theatre?" My friend, lovely friend Christine, who's died. And we thought, well, let's just see if that sticks.
Yeah.
And we're very surprised to discover that, yes, we were allowed to have that name.
Yeah.
And so we went for it and registered it, and it was approved by the Charities Commission. And then we realised what an enormous weight that carried.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's got Manx and it's got National in it.
Yeah.
But we've stepped up to the plate. It's been quite scary because we're working with people with no training.
Yeah.
But actually, they've picked it up and run with it. They are willing to accept the stuff they don't know, and they've got to learn it.
Yeah, yeah.
And are brave enough to take the risk.
Brilliant.
And we're brave enough to take the risk. Yeah. We're waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning crying, but but having seen how they've coped, we are really heartened by it and really looking forward to watching them on the stage.
Yeah.
And, you know,
just really having a lovely time with theatre that they thought they'd never get a crack at.
And you've got quite a wide and varied sort of membership and group of abilities. And
youngest one's 2, oldest one's 80-something.
Well,
most of them have had no training whatsoever.
Yeah.
They might have dabbled a bit here and there, but they haven't got any solid structure behind them. But actually what we do is we listen to their ideas and allow them to contribute. And actually their ideas are better than ours.
Yeah.
Because their imagination is unfettered, if you like.
Mm,
You know, they haven't let the fact that there's no training stop them.
No.
They don't think, oh, crikey, can I do it? They think, oh, go on, let's give it a go, shall we? And so it's rolling. And it's grown at an amazing rate as well. It's we've got about something like 70 members.
Wow.
And the majority of them are on stage. I think we've got about between 45 and 55 on stage. It messes about a bit. We've split the younger groups so that nobody's on stage for too long if they're under 10, basically.
Right, okay. So some are on Thursday night and some are on Friday night.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
See, the cool thing is, started work with the adult group and they were all a bit worried. And so I ran it like I would a drama lesson.
Yeah.
GCSE or even before GCSE. And one of our members came up to me and she said, "It's just like playing, isn't it? It's like being a kid again."
Yeah.
And she's in her 60s, same sort of age as me. And I said, "Yeah, that's why we call the things that we do plays."
Yeah.
And she went, "This is great." And it was like the enthusiasm and this lifting of the worry. Am I going to be good enough? And no, stuff it. We're just going for it.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah. Lose your inhibitions and just have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's... And from that came this idea, the idea of fan story, which wasn't fan story to start out with. It was the quote, the folklore project
thing. Right.
In fact, the title was coined by a lady called Jo Smith, who runs the Manx Writers something. Because originally we were going to have a lot of people writing and contributing. That filtered down to just a handful of people who found writing for theatre much harder than they thought.
Yeah.
So what we've done is collaborated with them and used some of their ideas and just built it up from there.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that was a real surprise to them is how many pages you need.
Yes.
It's a lot of pages.
Mm, it is, yes.
One page is only a minute, if you're lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've done it. Or Chris has done most of it, to be fair. My writing's rubbish, but his is quite good.
I've done a lot of
it's had a lot of experience.
I know.
Yeah, I've done a lot of collating, filling out the gaps, making it stage friendly.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's come from the cast as well. Could we try this? And the standard answer in Manx National Theatre, God help us all, is yes.
Yeah.
Can we try it? Yes. Do you think we should give it a go?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's yes and.
Yeah.
Yes, and we could do this as well. Or yes, but. Mm-hmm. But it's always yes.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Or
yes.
We've tried that for 3 weeks and it's not really working, is it? No, let's start again.
Yeah, let's try something else. Yeah,
exactly.
And usually they come to that conclusion for themselves. They sort of go, this is run out of steam. Okay, what should we do now?
Yeah.
And it's fun. On a Sunday afternoon down at the Scout Hall that's in Onchan, a whole bunch of people turn up to have some fun.
Mm.
In a state of moderate terror now that there's a show at the Gazer coming up.
Yes.
But quite right too.
The impending deadline of the show, yes.
Oh, yeah. And that's going to be great. Now, the whole thing about FAND, and I didn't know about this because, I'm not Manx. Apparently, FAND is Manannan's wife.
Yeah, I only realised that this evening when I was reading about the story, yeah.
We
yeah.
knew nothing about FAND.
No?
Suggested by
Joe. And Tay Tegi, I'd heard about, Hunt the Wren and all that stuff. Hadn't heard of her. Did, a few minutes research and thought, that's a great hook. And basically the story evolved from there, which is basically there's a wedding.
Yeah.
It's very Midsummer Night's Dream, this. There is a wedding. Tay Tegi turns up and steals the men.
Right.
The men had to be rescued by the women.
Uh-huh.
And the women, in order to try to rescue them, Fan helps them. Manannan steps in, but they are sent off to actually ask help from the various fae around the island, mainly, as Fan says, to keep them out of the way so they can actually get on with with saving people properly. And there's a happily ever after. Oops, spoilers.
And a giant Morthadoo.
Oh, yes.
Huge.
Oh, it's a wonderful puppet, I believe.
Yeah, yes. Weighs a ton.
Yeah.
I feel quite sorry for the yeah. poor person underneath holding the head up. But yeah. He's getting muscles. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
So and that's being run sort of along the sort of Avenue Q sort of approach. So
right, okay.
You see the puppeteer.
Like Warhorse and Life of Pi. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You see the puppeteer, you hear the puppeteer because he's got lines.
Right.
He's got quite a nice monologue, actually. And so you see him, you hear, but hopefully you ignore him.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's a big black dog with flashing red eyes going.
Wonderful.
Leaping around the stage. Or maybe not leaping because it is very heavy.
See how adventurous he gets.
Well, yeah. And again, we're just trying stuff out. We're still trying stuff out. It's great.
Fantastic. So it's a fairly small cast of kind of lead characters, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Fand, which is Manannan's wife.
Yeah.
And that's Tina Douglas.
Yeah.
Correct.
Manannan himself is Craig Douglas.
Yeah.
And they are married to each other.
And they are married to each other. Yeah. Oh, so married in real life. Oh, yeah, wonderful.
Yeah. It's been very interesting.
We've got a couple that are playing a couple in Come From Away as well, which is always interesting. Although when it gets to the kissing scene, obviously they're not going to be too bothered about doing that. So that's fine.
Yeah. Well, do I have to again?
Yeah. Again, all right. And then Tegi is Shannon Murphy.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
And of course, along with that, we've got all the fairies, the mermaids, the Bagan, and as you said, the Mordidoo, mm-hmm. which is apparently a fantastic puppet made by Lizzie Christian.
Correct. Yeah. It is fantastic. I'm a bit shocked, actually. We thought it was going to be a little bit chucked together. None of that. She's absolutely...
This is architecture.
She's so enthused, and we were really quite surprised when we saw it, and, oh, crumbs. Yeah, you wait till you see it. It's amazing. Yeah.
So I'm going to have to make sure that we make a real feature, you know, make sure the lighting actually complements the whole thing, and that's going to... That's going to be marvellous. At the moment, I'm looking at ways of actually helping our puppeteer, who is a young man in year 11, to find a way to support this thing. And I've got various ideas. We're going to try them out on Sunday because that's the first time we're going to have the whole puppets available to us. That's going to be great.
It's going to be great. One of my favourites is the Bagain, who runs a demolition company.
Churches are specialised.
Specialised in churches, yes.
And he's hysterical. That's William Derbyshire.
Right, okay.
With Hannah Cowell, who is his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And they're really funny, aren't they? Those
absolutely. The comic timing is amazing.
Yeah.
It really, really is. It's great. And the cast, when we did the first read-through of that particular scene, fell about. And I thought, yeah, we've got something here. Yes, it's supposed to be serious. Yes, it's supposed to be a bit scarier here and there. But it's got to be that mixture. There's got to be comedy and jeopardy and all of those things. Otherwise, it's not a full theatrical experience.
No, you've got to be able to buy into it, haven't you? Yeah.
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 And it's a family show, so although there are heavy bits, there's got to be light as well.
And no swearing, and at least none that's been in the script.
no swearing planned anyway.
No.
So tickets prices, they are about £18 to £20, is that about right?
Probably, I can't remember now. Yeah. It's a long time when I filmed it.
It was whatever the price point was, we agreed with the Gaiety at the time. Mm. And we have offered a discount to schools for...
It's because QE2 contacted the theatre and said, could we have a discount for kids under 16? And so the theatre said, is that all right? And I thought, well, that's a brilliant idea, actually.
Yes.
So we've extended that to all schools. If they've got a group of 10 or more, it's 20% discount, because it'd be fantastic for young people to be able to
come
in and see the puppet and join in with the laughs. Also, we want them for members.
Yes, I can say, this is the way that you get people to come along. I mean, I remember that myself. When I was a young man, I was part of the Gale Force out in Peel, Barbara Gale's Gale Force. And I left when I was about 11 or 12, voice started to break. And being one of only two boys left in the group at the time, and the other boy being about 4 years younger than me wasn't great. Yeah. So I'd left for a few years, and then I went to watch the Peel Pantaloons, and I just thought, oh, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the next 5 years with. And then I got invited to the Manx Operatic Society. And then, well, the rest is history.
Now you're famous.
ish. Or infamous or one of those. But no, you're right, because you never know who you're going to, who's going to turn up to any given show and go, I really want to do that.
Mm.
That's where I want to be. I want to be that person on that side. Happened to me. Happens to most people. I discovered very early on, I am the world's worst audience. I don't want to be sitting in the seat watching. I want to be out there doing it. That's what I want. And with Max National Theatre, we're trying to facilitate that for as many people as actually want to do it.
Yeah.
And at the moment, we've got lessons all Saturday afternoon and all Sunday. So it really has mushroomed.
Yeah.
Which is very pleasing, but it's meant that we've had to run to keep up with it, and we are doing it. Can I just mention to people, just a quick promotion here, on Sundays at 12 we have a ballet class for adults, on Sunday at 1 we have a tap class for adults, on Sunday at 5 we have a jazz class for adults.
Wonderful.
With a suggested donation of a fiver, but if you can't pay, it doesn't matter. You can still come.
Yeah.
So we'll be picking that up again the second fan story is finished.
Right.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The classes are hysterical.
And so how do people get involved then? How do people join? Do they just...
They turn up.
Just turn up.
They just turn up. It's not complicated.
Yeah.
Just be there and... that you're automatically a member.
Yeah,
that's it.
They can get in touch with us via the Facebook page, which is Manx National Theatre. That's probably the easiest route because we pick up all those messages. But I don't know what we did with our weekends before, really. It's so boring when we're not, you know, we think
we slept. Lovely. Do you remember sleep?
No, I don't remember sleep.
Okay.
I don't remember. I just I know I all in this mild panic perpetually, but Sundays and Saturdays, we wake up and think, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is quite exciting.
Yeah.
You know, the second the people arrive, it's buzzing, absolutely buzzing, which is marvellous.
Exciting creative days.
Yes, it is.
And the best days.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fantastic.
Full of laughs.
Yes, excellent. Right, well, Fan Story is at the Gaiety Theatre on Thursday the 5th and Friday the 6th of March. Shows start at 7 p.m, not 7.30, it's 7 p.m, so don't be late. Tickets available from villagaiety.com or by calling 600-555. Chris, Susanna, thanks for joining me on the podcast today, and we wish you and everyone at Manx National Theatre involved with Fan Story all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Okay, let's have another look forward at what's currently planned for this year. First up, as we've just mentioned, is Manx National Theatre with Fan Story at the Gaiety Theatre on the 5th and 6th of March. Also, on Friday the 6th of March, the Service Players present an evening of one-act plays, showcasing two of their entries for this year's one-act festival, with Janet and John by Michael Piercy and Roast Dinner by Lisa Smith. It starts at 7 p.m. in the Onken Parish Hall at the top of Royal Avenue. It's free entry and refreshments, and they're taking donations towards the Isle of Man Food Bank and Ed Space charities. As mentioned earlier, March is Mad for Month, and we'll see the Festival of One-Act Plays at the Erin Arts Centre from the 11th to the 14th of March, a play-in-a-day workshop with Edward Bennett at Ballacameen Studio Theatre on the 14th of March, and the finals of Young Actor of Man, also at Ballacameen, on the 15th of March. Again, as mentioned earlier, the Service Players' second production of the year will be a staging of the 70s TV favourite, The Good Life, and runs at the Gaiety from the 25th to the 27th of June. Then, in July, from the 10th to the 18th, Two Feathers Productions are back for their fourth production with Come From Away, which charts the stories of the locals of Gander, Newfoundland, and the passengers of 38 jumbo jets forced to land there when the US airspace was closed following the terrorist actions on 9/11. In August, from the 5th to the 15th, Taylorian Productions bring their 20th anniversary production of Cats to the Gaiety. You'll need to dust off your air guitars in October for Rock of Ages, brought to the Gaiety by Centre Stage Productions for the 9th to the 17th. Then, from the 5th to the 7th of November, the Service Players are back again with Dracula at the Gaiety Theatre, directed by Alessandro Mazzotta. Also at the Gaiety in November, we have staged door entertainments with the Great British Bake Off musical from the 12th to the 14th. There's still no announcement yet on the Gaiety Panto, but I'll update you as soon as I know. Well, with that, we bring episode 76 to a close. Thanks once again to Leandra, Lisa and Anthony from MADFA and Chris and Susanna from Manx National Theatre for joining me on the podcast. And we wish them and everyone involved with Young Actor of Man, the One Act Festival, the Play in a Day and Fan Story all the very best for their runs. Don't forget, if you've not yet bought your tickets, you can get them from erinartcentre.com for the One Act Festival and for Fan Story from villagaiety.com or by calling 600 555. Don't forget to check out the Spotify playlist by searching for Manx Theatre Podcast. There are almost 130 tracks in there now and almost 9 hours of show tunes to satisfy your musical theatre needs. If you have any events that you'd like me to talk about or promote on a future episode, you can contact me through the podcast's social media accounts or by email to manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com. All that remains is to say thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again next time. I've been Neil Callan, and you've been listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
The Manx Theatre Podcast, taking a look behind the scenes of Manx Theatre.
Then actors alive for me.